Oh, what a wonderful child. What a wonderful baby. Aren't you glad already you came today? Would you take your Bibles and find Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 and Psalm 105? If you're going to choose just one, go to Psalm 105 for today. It will be kind of our theme verses now till Christmas Eve in Isaiah 9, looking at those names. But we're glad that you're here today. Members, you know there's a vote coming at the end of the service today. And we appreciate the testimony, appreciate the Phillips family getting to know them. Many of you have opportunities this weekend, and you still have an opportunity at the end of the service or the Christian Life Center in between services today, as well as they'll be kind of hanging out around there as well. And so let me give my complete endorsement. Appreciate our search team and the work that they have done. Glad to get to know Keith and Paige and their family. Be exciting to have them come and to be able to come alongside work with us now. And serve with us. But I've been asked, if he's going to do all those things, preacher, what are you going to do? Well, I'll find something, okay? And you know my number. I imagine you're going to keep me busy, continue to do so, and it would be fine, wonderful, and exciting as well. We are in Psalm 105 is the place that you may be, but we're going to begin by reading. I tell you what, would you stand and honor the reading of God's Word today? First, from Isaiah chapter 9, and verse 6 says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And now from Psalm 105, we find in the first verses of that chapter says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his presence continually." Verse 5 reads, "Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles and the judgments he uttered." May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word today, and you may be seated. Okay, you know it. Who said it? What's in a name? That which we call a rose by any other name would still be as sweet. You know it. It's Juliet in Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet. Juliet, I guess, was saying that the names maybe don't mean that much, at least for roses. No matter what you call it, it would still be a rose. However, for people, for most of us, names mean something. I mean, we like for people to call our name sometimes. We like to hear our name called every now and then. We know that parents often stress or contemplate over choosing names for their children. It's a hard choice. When our first child was born, we could not or had not decided on the name. We're in the birthing room. In fact, we didn't even know if it was a boy or a girl, decided to wait. And the nurse asked, probably to distract me, but the nurse asked, "Well, what are you going to name the baby?" And we said, "Well, if it's a boy, we thought it'd be this, that, or this. If it's a girl, we thought we'd call it Julie or..." And before we said any other name, she said, "Hello, Julie." And thus she was, and the name were born. What to call the Christ, the incarnate Son of God? Surely one name would not do. At least 198 names and titles for Jesus, according to Cruden's Concordance. In Isaiah's prophecy about the coming Messiah, we find that there are five names that are listed here. Some translations list it as four names, but for our purposes, we're going to count these as five names for Jesus. These are not necessarily new names, so I'm calling them new names today. Isaiah penned them 3,000 years ago, but we're going to look at them today and in the days to come, leading through this Advent until Christmas Eve, and you want to be a part of all those services that you can. We're going to look at these as new because they are refreshing. They continue to give us a new spirit. They continue to make us new as we find out more and more about who he is and about these particular names. They're going to help us in growing in our relationship this Christmas season, as well as help us to be prepared for what the future has in store. We're all about what's next here at the church. I think we need to be as believers in Christ. Where is it the Lord, and what does the Lord have for us in the future? When the first name in the book of Isaiah, according to Isaiah 9:6, God said, first call him, choir just sang about it, first call him Wonderful. I believe that God wants to bring excitement, wants to bring joy, wants to bring enjoyment to our life. How much better with a Christ child, Wonderful, It's not an adjective, it's a name or it's a title. It does describe him, but it's also who he is. He is wonderful, but most people don't know it today. His wonder is secret or hidden to those who cannot or refuse to see. We know that sin keeps many from experiencing his wonder, particularly that sin of idolatry, which is worshiping or putting first place something other than God. It's living on substitutes. We read from Psalm 105 just a moment ago. If you got your Bibles open, I'm going to get you to turn to 115, Psalm 115, because there we find the psalmist says that we become like what we worship. Look at the verses. We're going to begin reading in verse 5. It's particularly talking about idols that other people worship. It says in verse 5, Psalm 115 and verse 5, they have mouths but do not speak, eyes but do not see, they have ears but do not hear, noses but do not smell, they have hands but do not feel, feet but do not walk, they do not make a sound in their throat. And then notice what he says, those who make them become like them, so do all who trust in them. Here's the theme for where we're going here in these next few minutes. We become like what we worship. We become like what we worship. We do not see the wonder of Jesus when we do not worship or seek after him. What a tragedy, particularly for those who are followers of Christ and those who are believers who miss the wonder of Christ because they do not spend time with the Redeemer or not seeking after him. This morning, we're going to spend these few minutes discovering what makes Jesus worthy of worship, or why he's called wonderful. So I invite you to join me in reflecting on the wonder of the Christ child, and let this be more than just a time of listening. Hopefully all is listening, but a time of seeking after the Lord and a time of worship. He is worthy because the Son of God left heaven to visit the world. He is worthy because the Son of God left heaven to visit the world. It's the story of Christmas. It changed history, and for many it would change eternity. 198 names and titles for Jesus found in God's Word hardly begin to describe the love of Christ. Charles Wesley wrote 6,500 hymns about the Lord. Two of those we sing at Christmas, like Hark the Herald Angels Sing and Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. This visitor in Bethlehem takes care of the dullness of life. Someone said that about half of our sins are due to the fear of boredom. It certainly is probably we tend to be busy all the time. We overload our schedule, perhaps with the idea that life will be too boring or dull if we do not. There was a story in the news not long ago about a basset hound by the name of Tattoo that went on an evening walk, but not on purpose, because the owner of the basset hound got into the car and got the leash stuck in the door of the car without the basset hound knowing. Police car came along, and they weren't going all that very fast, but he saw something look like it was dragging behind the car, recognized as he got closer that it was the basset hound by the name of Tattoo. Tattoo, he said later to the reporter who was doing the story, said he was picking them up and putting them down in order that he might. Now, the car got up to about 20 or 25 miles per hour, and yes, Tattoo did turn over two or three times, but he kept going, coming along the way. But he did ask afterwards never to go on an evening walk ever again, or at least for a while. Too often our schedules often have a hold on us and drags us along, and we're too busy picking them up and putting them down when we need to stop and notice the wonder of Christ. It is one reason that we've come here to worship together today. It is the reason that we need to worship personally and take time in our lives. One day the disciples asked Jesus who was the greatest. They were hoping that one of them would be up for the job, or they'd be nominated maybe for the greatest. You might remember Jesus took a child, set them in their midst, and said, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. We often accuse children of having a short attention span, but it's the child who can stare at a butterfly as long as it will stay, or it's a child that can watch the fish in the tank go back and forth. Children are amazed at the makeup of the universe and are often a lot more content than adults. Now, the world can produce marvels of modern science. We carry in our pocket, in the palm of our hand, and now on our wrist, unlimited amount of information. And with those devices, we can connect to the rest of the world. But it's like the day after Christmas, the newness of our toys quickly wear off. Even all of today's technology does not keep excitement and a sense of awe and wonder in our lives. It's because we are made for a relationship with the eternal, with the majesty only found in Jesus, and we'll never be satisfied with the things of this world. The Hebrew word that Isaiah used to give Jesus his first name means to separate or to distinguish. Sometimes it's translated marvelous, sometimes too high, too difficult, and just simply sometimes as the miracle. You might remember a story in Judges chapter 13 having to do with one of the judges, the one maybe one of the most famous by the name of Samson, being born. And the angel of the Lord appeared to his parents, Manoah and his wife, who could have no children. Now the angel of the Lord, the capital T and the capital A there, reference to the pre-incarnate Christ, it's Jesus appearing before he's born in Bethlehem, and the angel said that they would have a son. And Manoah asked the visitor, chapter 13 and verse 17, what's your name? And the pre-incarnate Son of God said from the King James English, why askest thou after my name, seeing it is secret? Other translations, such as the ESV that I'm reading out of today, uses the word wonderful. In other words, he says, my name is wonderful. When the shepherds told of the Christ child, in Luke 2 tells us that all those who heard it marveled. And Jesus said, if you have seen me, then you have seen the Father. The Son of God left heaven to visit the world. What does that tell you? It tells you that he knows you. He's not distant, but close at hand, and you can know him as well. The population at the beginning of this year, population of the city of Auburn was projected to be over 83,000. I don't know if it is there or not. It probably seems like it. One of the fastest growing in the state, among the fastest growing in the nation. It's the mission field that the Lord has given us to reach. But the population, and many would say the overcrowding, simply produces more hurting people than ever before. Henry David Thoreau described the city as thousands of people being lonely together. Well, Jesus came to bring wonder and amazement to the lonely and to the hurting. There's a void in life that cannot be filled on anything on earth. It can be filled. It can be filled with a relationship with the one called wonderful. What else makes the one called wonderful worthy of worship? The Son of God made a difference everywhere he walked. The Son of God made a difference everywhere he walked. Everything that Jesus did was filled with wonder. It was just another wedding until Jesus showed up. We have long forgotten the name of the bride and the groom, but we remembered what happened when Jesus turned the water into wine. History will never forget. Everything that Jesus touched took on new substance and meaning. The fishermen were just ordinary fishermen. They would have lived ordinary lives and died ordinary deaths, but they met Jesus. Even catching fish became an exciting event. Jesus, who walked on water, Jesus, who calmed the storms. He used lilies and sparrows and children, wind and seas, to preach sermons. He compared a lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost son to a lost soul. He rode in the dust and confounded the self-righteous. He took ordinary bread, took the common cup, gave them such depth of meaning that they become symbols of God's grace. What difference does he make in your life? He changes you. He brings change to your life and makes you useful, gives your life purpose and meaning. He gives direction for every day and helps you to see that you can become more like him as you walk, as he walked, as you follow his example. He's worthy because he left heaven to visit the world. He made a difference everywhere he walked. And he's worthy because the Son of God spoke the most powerful words. The Son of God spoke the most powerful words. The great teachers were known for quoting authorities on the subjects they taught. Jesus spoke with authority without quoting any other authority except his word. In John 8, Jesus said, I speak to the world that which I have heard from the Father. He spoke so simple that the common people who heard, they heard him gladly, yet the greatest minds are still trying to comprehend. He was at home with the peasant and with the most educated. His words are the most wonderful words, for every word from his mouth was truth. If he uttered the word, it is the word of God. Whatever he said was automatically so, just as it was in the beginning when he said, let there be light, and there was light. He, the Son of God, spoke everything into existence. And now today, as he speaks, he gives enlightenment, encouragement and enablement to us to live and speak as well. Heard of a couple who had been fighting for several weeks, wanting to purchase a new car. He wanted a truck. She wanted a little sports car that she could get in and out of town. Kind of became a heated debate. So much so that she said to him, she said, "Listen, I want something that goes to 0 to 180 in less than 4 seconds. He said, she said, "My birthday's coming up, and there better be a surprise for me on my birthday, or things will not be good around here if you get my drift." Well, her birthday come, and she got up. First thing she did, she went and looked in the garage. There's no car in the garage. And she went and looked for her husband, kind of upset already with him, but he'd already gone to work. So she went, still frustrated, but went into the bathroom in order to get ready, and there she saw, with the red ribbon wrapped around it, the new bathroom scales with a note that attached, guaranteed to go from 1 to 180 in 4 seconds or less. Funeral arrangements are pending. We might need to be careful about the words that we speak, but we recognize that every word from the Savior, every word in His Bible is the Word of God, is good and wonderful. His words helps us to be able to know how to speak and how to live. If the Son of God speaks the most powerful words and wonderful words of life, what does that mean to you? He teaches you. He makes us more than we are. And if we have a teachable spirit, we're to listen to His words, study, meditate on them, and put them into practice. John 1, we read here earlier with the Advent, He is the Word so that we might be able to understand His love. Are you now all that you want to be? Are you as good as you want to be? Always know the good, the right thing to do, and do you always do it? If you are, you are among the minority. You might even be among the delusional. Most people want to be more than they are right now. Jesus teaches the teachable. You might remember that the Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12, "Not that I have already obtained this or I'm already perfect, but I'm pressed on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me His own." Will you become, will we become more teachable, ready to listen to the master teacher called Wonderful? Also, He is worthy of worship because the Son of God gave His life to provide the only way. He gave His life to provide the only way. When we're baptized today, now we baptized and we're thinking about what Jesus did for us on the cross. We're thinking of His death. When Jesus was baptized in the New Testament, we recognize that Jesus was thinking not about the past, but He was thinking about the future and His pathway to the cross. He came to die. He knew He would die. He was willing for your sake and for mine. One of the greatest things about the one whose name is called Wonderful is the way He transformed a rugged cross into the meeting place of God's love and man's sin. The cross became the bridge. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, in the paraphrase known as the Living Bible, it says this, that God is on one side and all the people on the other side, and Christ Jesus Himself, man, is between them to bring them together by giving His life for all mankind. We obviously spend a lot more time and energy and money on Christmas than we do on Easter. And leaving the throne room of heaven to come to planet Earth was a big deal. Don't misunderstand that. But the wonder, the one named Wonderful, is culminated in the only righteous one who ever lived as He walked up the hill called Calvary, willing to die on our behalf and rise again. So we pause and we take time to reflect on His goodness and His grace because He forgives you. He forgives you. We're reminded to be thankful for this greatest gift, the gift of the Son of God who gave His life so that we might have life eternally. If you are here today or someone listening today, if you have not yet given your heart and life to Jesus, you can know this, that He will forgive you of all of your sin. That we can come in repentance, come turning from sin, turn to Christ, knowing what Jesus did for us on the cross and rose again. And today the Lord is leading you to give your heart and life to Him because He's worthy. He's worthy because the Son of God is alive and He makes life worth living. He makes life worth living. Without Him, life is bland, dull, and dead, and you miss much of what God has prepared for you. Jesus said, and speaking about parables in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 13, He said, "Seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Those who did not understand and do not today, it is because they do not know him by his first name, Wonderful. Do you remember we read the Psalms? We read it for a reason. What did the psalmist say? We become like what we worship. The name Wonderful covers his eternal nature, his birth into this world, the life he lived, all that he taught, his death for us, and the fact that he rose again and he's alive today. Wonder comes to our life as we begin to walk with him in obedience. There's no substitute for the daily fellowship that we as followers of Christ are to have with him in prayer and reading his word regularly, so that we might be able to sharpen our spiritual senses, the same as why we come to worship today. Our eyes begin to see what he sees. Our ears begin to hear what he hears and what he wants to tell us. And most important, our heart begins to love what he loves. We become like who we worship. What happens to everything that we can buy and that we touch and see with our eyes? Well, the Bible tells us those things will not last. They'll be thrown away or destroyed. Without experiencing Christ, if we worship anything else, our lives are ready to be just that, thrown away or destroyed. With Jesus, we're able to experience the glory of heaven. The secret is the glory of Christ that we come to know as we grow deeper in our faith. In the book Blue Like Jazz by Donald Miller, talks honestly about his evangelistic misgivings before his faith deepened. He said, I could not in good conscience tell a friend about a faith that didn't excite me. I couldn't share something that I was not experiencing. I wasn't experiencing Christianity. It didn't do anything for me at all. It felt like math, like a system of rights and wrongs and political beliefs. But it wasn't mysterious. It wasn't God reaching out of heaven to do wonderful things in my life. And if I would have shared Christianity with somebody, it would have felt mostly like I was trying to get somebody to agree with me rather than to meet God. Does that describe your Christian walk? A lack of spiritual excitement, lacking godly mystery? Would you rather have people agree with you? Or would you rather have people meet the God that you know through your Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, the one who gives purpose and meaning? It's my prayer that your walk with Jesus does not leave you disillusioned, but grows in excitement and wonder. Not because life is always easy, because it's not, but because you know God is at work to do a wonderful work no matter what our situation or no matter what our circumstance. Take time now to know the one named Wonderful. For wonder leads to worship. Worship leads to growth. Growth leads to character, and character leads to serving. It is true that if we want to serve and we want others to know God, we must take time to wonder and worship and pursue more of the Son of God. This morning, he can make your life new, fresh, exciting, and wonderful because his name is Wonderful. He knows you, he changes you, he teaches you, he forgives you, and he never stops loving you. He never stops loving you. It's the greatest incentive, and it's the best reason to love him more and to serve him. Let's bow together for prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you even now, and we thank you for what we've been able to experience here today, testimony and worship through songs, prayers and praise, and even the contemplation of your name called Wonderful. We thank you the psalmist wrote how wonderful. We've been able to sing about it today. We pray now, even now, Father, that we may draw close to you, that we may be able to have that daily fellowship. We may sharpen our skills, become more and more like the one that we truly worship. We recognize if we're not becoming more like you, it may be because we're not truly worshiping you and putting you first. May that begin to happen even more now in each of our lives. And we pray, Father, if there's one that doesn't know you today, that today might be the day of salvation. They may call upon you. We thank you for the sending of the Christ child. We thank you, Father, for the opportunities that you have today and before us. It's in the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Would you please stand? We're going to have our song of commitment today, and we encourage you to follow the Lord's direction in your life. If you need to come giving your heart and life to Jesus today, some of our ministry team down here at the front, I'm going to be down here as well. You just come as we worship together. You just come stand alongside us. give my heart and life to Jesus. Or maybe you already have and you need to come for baptism. Maybe you just need to come and make it public today. Or today, if you're looking to join Parkway Baptist Church, you just come and let us know. We'll tell you the next steps. If you'd like to come and pray with one of us or pray at the altar today, you come as the Lord leads, as we sing together.